If you have your copy of Scripture, you go to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to be in a lot of different passages this morning, but and all of them will be on the screen. Also, you have a handout that has notes. If you'd like that, you didn't receive one, raise your hand and we'll get that to you. We just finished a series last week called Leave a Mark. And basically, the challenge was for us to lead more intentional lives, especially in the area of passing down our faith to the next generation. We're called to leave a mark. And the first week, we kind of began with a question, and the question was, what happens after your life is complete? What happens after your life is complete? And we asked that from the standpoint or the viewpoint of what kind of legacy do you want to leave? How do you want to be remembered? And so today, I kind of want to use the same question, but I want to look at it from a different standpoint or a different perspective, meaning that I want us to talk a little bit about eternal destiny or what happens when you die. And that's a question that a lot of us don't like to think about, a lot of us don't like to talk about, but it's important that we do because, like we said in the last series, one out of one people die. All of us are going to die. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about eternity. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about heaven and hell. And today, we're going to look at specifically what happens when you die. And for many reasons, this is important for us to think about and to talk about. But one of the main reasons is this, and this is kind of one thing we'll go back to time and time again. It's important that you understand what you think about eternity and death, because what you believe about death and eternity will determine how you live today. Let me say it again. What you believe about death and eternity determines how you live your life today. And from the video, we see that people have all kinds of ideas about what eternity and death look like. And in fact, you know, for example, there's many people out there that are atheists that believe that once you're dead, you're dead. It's over. That there's no eternity. You're just worm dirt. And so there's no reason to live with an eternal motivation. Some people believe in purgatory, and they believe that once you die, that people can pray you out of purgatory. Islam teaches that at the end, Allah will judge the works of those that have gone before. And if your good works outweigh your bad, you go to paradise. But if your bad works outweigh your good, you'll go to hell. Some people believe that when you die, that you turn into angels and you sprout wings and you fly up on a cloud and you play a harp. Or they put you in some place down there near Cassville or down there near Joplin. They put you in, never mind. Other people believe in reincarnation. That if you've been really good, you come back in a higher life form. But if you've been really bad, you come back as a cockroach or a mosquito or a Cardinals fan. Something like that. Anyway. Anyway, the bottom line, what you believe about death and eternity will determine how you live on earth. And so today, I want us to build a foundation, try to answer the question, what do we know about death? Because the truth is, we don't know a lot, and the Bible addresses it, but it doesn't, and it's clear on some things it's not quite so clear. And so the first thing I want us to wrestle with is what do we know about death? And the first thing that we know is that death is certain. Death is certain. Like we said earlier, one out of one of us will die. Unless you are a Christ follower and you're alive when Jesus returns, you're going to experience death. And Hebrews 9 says this, it'll be on the screen. It says, just as people are destined to die once, after that they will face judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. From those verses, we learn that we are all destined to die, and then we will all face judgment. And what will happen at the judgment depends on what you did with Jesus while you were here on earth. And you say, Dan, what does Jesus have to do with this? Why is he so important when it comes to thinking about our eternity? And here's why, where he comes in here is because the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. All of us sin. And we're all born with a sin nature, and our sin separates us from a holy God. But the good news is that God loved us, and he sent his son. God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus Jesus came into the world, born from a virgin, and that's important that he was born from a virgin because he didn't inherit the sin nature, and he lived a perfect and sinless life, and then he shed his innocent blood on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again, and he's alive. He rose again, and because of his perfect sacrifice by faith, when we believe in him, we are called righteous by God. We are adopted into the family of God by our faith in Christ. In fact, scripture says that anyone, and that includes every fact. Look to the person on your left and say, that includes you. Now go the other way. That includes you. The Bible says that anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life has been, no matter how messed up you are right now, the Bible says that anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And there may be some of you here today that God brought you here for that very moment, that you're going to turn from your sins, you're going to call on his name, and you'll never be the same. Your sins will be forgiven and gone. And the Bible says that your sins will be cast into the sea of forgetfulness as if you've never sinned. That's good news. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That something on the inside of you will come alive spiritually, and you'll begin to hear the voice of God. You'll begin to pray with him. You'll begin to pick up his word, and it comes alive in you. You'll eternally be changed. And when you die one day, you will spend eternity with him. Your name will be written in the book of life, and it can never be blotted out. That's good news. First thing we know about death is that it's certain. The second thing is that the soul and the body will separate. The soul and body will separate. And we need to be reminded that. We need to be reminded that we are not our body. Now, teenagers, I remember being that. It's been a long time, but I remember that. I remember getting up every morning and looking in the mirror and say, you good-looking thing, don't you ever die. I remember that. Truth of the matter is a lot of us get real hung up. We can spend all kinds of resources, all kinds of time and money taking care of the outside, taking care of our bodies, making sure we look good. And as my dad used to say, any old barn could use some paint. So we need to do it. But some of us spend more time caring on the outside. And the truth of the matter is that the outside is merely just a tent that inhabits our soul, that covers our soul. That the outside, your outside ain't the real you. The Bible says that when you die, your body will die, but your soul will continue to live. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 10. He said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The body and soul are two different things. And one day when your physical body dies, your soul will be as alive as it's ever been. They'll be making preparations for your service. There'll be some people that'll be making potato salad to feed your family, but your soul will be very much alive. Your body may die, but your soul lives on. And Jesus talked about this in John 11, 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now watch this, verse 26. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What do we know about death? We know that it's certain. We know that the body and the soul will separate. And number three, we know that we will face the judgment. We'll face the judgment. As Hebrews 9, 27 said, just as man is destined to die once, after that, he will face the judgment. And if you're like me, the thought of being judged by God is very sobering. I mean, it's tough enough to think about being judged by other people. But the Bible says that after we die, we will all face the judgment. And some people have different views and opinions about this, but most conservative biblical scholars believe that there are two different judgments, and the first one is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. And there's some debate on who will be there, but most scholars believe that only non-Christians will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20 speaks about this, and this is John speaking. John has a vision. Had a vision under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says In verse 11, he says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne, and the books are opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." Skip down to verse 15. "Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." The Bible says, John says that at the great white throne judgment, that there are books that will be open, and one of the books is called the book of life that contains the names of those who have received Christ as Savior, and that there are other books that contain our deeds, contain our good works, maybe even our sins, and apparently you were judged by your works. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. We're not saved by our works. Our works are merely an evidence of a person's actual relationship with God. Scripturally, we know that no one qualifies for heaven based on their works or deeds. In fact, Ephesians 2 says, "It's by grace we are saved through faith in Christ, and that alone." It's the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. And so if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be judged by your works. And everyone whose name is not in the book of life will be thrown into what is called the lake of fire. And I just have to stop right here because I've, 12 years of being a pastor, I've never really spoken about this. I grew up as a preacher's kid where it was almost like a daily or a weekly, it was on the menu about every week. I mean, we talked about hell a lot. Yeah, I remember reading something back in the 90s where one pastor wrote an article that said, "Whatever happened to hell?" There's a book not too long ago written by Francis Chan called Erasing Hell. And so it's not something that I really want to talk about, but one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account on how I led you as a pastor. And I don't want to have anybody's blood on my hands. One thing we try to do around here all the time, we claim to believe in the Word of God. We preach from the Word of God. And we believe that it is authority for our lives. So I don't want anybody to slip by without hearing the truth. And so, but when I'm speaking, it's not, I grew up under some pastors and some evangelists. When they talked about hell, it was almost like kind of like I had a little bit of glee in them when they talked about it. I ain't one of those kind of guys. I mean, there's a lot of people I think that have been scared into making some decisions. So just kind of a little, I just want you to be aware. I want you to know what the Bible teaches. But it says, "We will be judged by our works, and if your name's not written in the book of life, that you'll be thrown in what is known as the lake of fire." The Bible describes it that it's a very real place. It involves everlasting destruction and eternal damnation and separation from God, from a holy God. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later on in the series. The great white throne judgment is a place where you do not want to be. But the second judgment mentioned in Scripture is known as the judgment seat of Christ. And apparently, it is for Christians. It's for the believer. And your eternal destination is not judged there. Your eternal destination was already determined when you were on earth, when you responded to the faith or to the grace and the work and the love of Jesus Christ, and you received Him as Savior. Most biblical scholars, and I totally agree, that our eternal destiny is not determined at the judgment seat of Christ. But it is at this place that our works are judged. Not to see if we'll make it into heaven or not, but to see whether or not you and I are worthy of rewards in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is a passage that is addressed to believers. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." That teaches, that means that you and I will stand before God and give an account on the way that we lived our lives. We won't be judged for salvation because that would have already been taken care of while we were still on earth. But instead, we will see if we qualify to receive any rewards in heaven. This will take place at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Greek word for judgment seat is the word bema. The bema is a very rich word. It has a lot of historical meaning. Bema literally means to step up. And it was used judicially speaking when a person would stand before, step up to the bema seat and be judged. And the judge would pronounce him as being either guilty or not guilty. It was also used in the ancient Greek Olympic Games. You'll be at this, if anybody been watching the Olympics, you'll remember this every time you see that. It was used then when a participant would step up on the platform and a crown of olive branches or olive leaves or whatever would be placed on their head and they would be pronounced as the winner. That's the visual. At the judgment seat of Christ, Christians will give an account for the way they lived their lives, and that will determine whether or not they will receive rewards. And so imagine standing before Jesus. Imagine standing before Jesus and Him rewarding you. You ever think about that? Probably the closest time of me really imagining that was several years ago when my mom passed away. Amy, you just lost your mom. A good friend of mine just lost her mom not too long ago. And I remember sitting down at her desk that afternoon she passed away, and just got on her Facebook page, and I just wanted to tell all of the people that followed her, and she literally had people from all over the world that she was in contact with. She worked to the day she died. She worked with foreign exchange students that would come. I mean, she's 85 years old. I mean, I remember when she's 81 years old helping somebody move into their dorm room. I mean, come on. But she just loved people in an incredible way. And God used her, though she couldn't speak anything but Texan, God used her to communicate the love of Jesus in a real way. So I remember sitting down at her desk and just writing and just saying, my mom is where she longed to be at this moment. She's standing face to face with Jesus. Imagine standing face to face, standing in the presence of God. And I just have to imagine when we see Him that we'll look into His eyes. And I think more than ever before, we'll understand His love for us in a way that we never would, in a way that we never have. And I just imagine that our response is going to be to fall at His feet and begin to worship because we realize what He did, everything He did in order for us to be there. And He's going to probably have to tell us, okay, get up off your knees. I got something to talk to you about. He says, I want to talk to you about the way you lived your life on earth, about how you ministered to me while you were on earth. And you're going to sit there. I think we're going to be very unworthy. And he says something like, God, I want to reward you for the way you blessed me. And you're sitting there saying, what in the wide world of sports did I do to bless you? He's going to take you back and say, you remember that verse that talks about when you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And maybe he'll have a big screen there and just kind of push replay on some things in your life. And he just says, you remember that time when you were busy at all? I mean, you sit there, you got kids running here and there and everything, but you signed up to go downtown Kansas City one Saturday to work at Hope Faith. It's an inner city ministry down there. You signed up to go there. You didn't have time to do it, but you made a commitment. If you signed up, you probably didn't go to Living Stones because then nobody signs up here. But anyway, but you committed to go to Hope Faith, and though you were busy, you still went. You felt so inadequate. You didn't think you were going to, I mean, what do you have? You felt so apprehensive about going, but you went anyway. You got down there, and there's some of the most needy people you've ever seen. And you got out of your comfort zone, and you began to just work and begin to serve them and just to meet their needs. And some in that process, God began to take over your heart. You began to share. You had a love for them you didn't think you had. You had the right words to say to them. You made a difference that day in someone's life. And when you did that, that was unto me. That day when you were going, you were in high school, and you were going in, and you've got, you know, you got your own table in high school. You got that table. Y'all sit it about every day, right? Same people every day, right? Same food every day. But on this day, you walked in there, and you happened to glance up, and you saw somebody sitting over there. They were sitting at a table by themselves. You never seen them before. And instead of going to your friends over here, something in you went over there and you sat down by that person. You just said, "Hey, my name's Dan. And just okay if I sit here?" And you began a conversation with them. And that day, they even though they felt alone, they felt like that day that somebody cared for them. And Jesus said, "That was unto me." A day when you were getting gas at Quick Trip and somebody came up to you. I mean, you were just minding your own business. You're sitting there scrolling on your phone. You're not supposed to be up while you're pumping gas, but you do it anyway. You're scrolling your phone and somebody walks up to you and says, "Hey, do you have $3 for a bus fare?" And you kind of brush them off and you say, no, I don't. And they kind of walk away, but then there's something kind of prompting you. It says, "Dude, you know you got $3 in your car right there." So you reach in there. And you give it to them, and you're not even sure if they're telling the truth, but you want to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You want to be what, you know, that's something of those people that are always needy. There's days when I just kind of want to distract. There's sometimes when I'm quiet enough when God says you need to meet their need. And the thing is, it's not, no, we don't need to be foolish in that. There's sometimes when I'm not sure if they're going to use my money the way that I, you know, they need to use, you know. What's more important is that you follow the prompting of the Spirit. That's up to him. That's between them and God. But when you did that unto me. That time at work when even though you were busy, that coworker of yours just began to unload, and instead of brushing her off, you that day you stopped and you listened, and they just poured their heart out. They needed somebody to talk to, and before you knew it, you said, "Do you mind if I could? You mind if I pray with you?" Jesus said, "That was unto me." When you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then he places a crown on your head and he says, "Well done." And that may be hard for us to imagine, because if you're like me, you know all your shortcomings, you know all of your failures, but on that day, we will be rewarded for the good things we did in the name of Jesus. And that's not the reason we do it. We don't do it for reward. In fact, if that's your motive, if your motive is to be rewarded here on earth, and the Bible says that's going to be your reward. If your motive is for the applause of men, that's going to be your reward. But I don't know about you, I'd rather have Jesus applauding me. The Bible talks about there are at least five different crowns or rewards in heaven. And the first one is this. It's the incorruptible crown. It's called the incorruptible crown, and it's for those of you who are pressing in to know Jesus more intimately. It's for you that are daily spending time in word and praying, and you're part of a life group and a Bible study because you know the importance of biblical community, and it's helping you become more like Christ. The incorruptible crown is for those who are pressing in to know Christ more intimately. There's a second one called the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, and it's for those of you who know that this world is not your home. You're just passing through, and your priority is to honor God with your life. You're not getting hung up chasing the things of the world, the things this world promises to bring fulfillment and joy. You're longing for the return of Christ to see him face to face. There's another one called the crown of rejoicing. It's also referred to as the soul winner's crown. It's for those of you who are passionate about leading others to Christ. You're engaged with other people in other people's lives. You care for them and you're praying for them and you're looking for opportunities, not just to talk about spiritual things, but to show them the love of Jesus. And you're inviting them to church and you're sharing your faith. You're leading others to Christ. The Bible says there's a crown for you called the crown of rejoicing. But there's another crown called the crown of glory, and that's for those who shepherd and care for others. This includes pastors and elders, but it also includes those of you that lead life groups and work with teenagers and children. You, week after week, watch over and care for your flock. There's a crown for you. Then lastly, there's the crown of life. This crown is for those of you who endure hard times and trials and suffer in the name of Christ. You remain steadfast. And today there are literally people all around the world who will physically die the death of a martyr today in the name of Jesus. They will suffer as a result of standing for righteousness, and they'll receive the crown. Question: have you lived a life worthy of the rewards of God? Have you lived a life worthy of the rewards of God? And the truth is, some of you have and some haven't. 1 Corinthians 3:13, Paul says that on Judgment Day, a person's work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it into light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Verse 14 says, what they have built survives. They will receive the reward, but if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through their flames. All their accomplishments on earth will be count as nothing, will count for nothing. So here's the bottom line. For the Christian, one day your motives will be judged, as well as your work and your lack of work. It will be judged. And some of you are going to be rewarded. It's going to blow you away. Some of you in this church are some of the most amazing servants I've ever seen. You're more generous, more selfless. Your life reflects the life of Jesus. And one day you'll be rewarded. That's not why you do it. You do it just out of a love for Jesus. There'll be some of you who are Christian, some of you that believe in Jesus, but you've hardly done anything except received the gift of salvation. You benefit from salvation, and one day you will spend eternity in heaven, but there's little evidence of his love in your life. Yeah, you prayed a prayer to receive Christ, but you've done almost nothing with it, and on that day you will be filled with regret. Because you'll get to heaven, but you'll get there by the skin of your teeth. Once you get there and you see just how real he is, once you get him and you look him eye to eye, you would give anything in your life to be able to do it over again. This takes us back to what we said at the beginning. What you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. On the day you die, you'll either receive the most warm, glorious embrace from Jesus, or if you're without Christ, you'll face gloom and despair and hopelessness like you've never seen. But either way, at that moment, your eternal destination is irrevocably fixed and eternally unchangeable. That's why this moment's so important. So I'm going to ask that you just bow your head. With your eyes closed, I first want to speak with the Christian. If I want you to consider this question. Have you lived your life in such a way that Jesus would say to you, well done? Were your motives pure? Were your actions godly? Were you serving others? Or do you look at your life like I do and say, man, there's so much room for improvement? Yes, I'm a believer, but I'm not serving, I'm not giving, I'm not being as Christ-like as I should. If that's where you are, it's a great day for you to renew your commitment to God. Say, God, just forgive me. Forgive me for caring about things here more than caring about fulfilling your purpose in my life. God, make me more like you. God, help me to live a life that is worthy of the life that you gave for me. If that's your desire, nobody look at, would you just say, Dan, I want to recommit to that. Anybody in this room? Raise your hand. Just raise it up. Put it in. All over this room. I see your hand. You put them down. Thank you for your honesty. God, I pray that you would work in all of us. God, that you would make us eternal minded, that we would serve you with our very best. God, stir in us in such a way that we can't continue with the self-centered lives. We'd be filled with Christ and his love for others. God, would you use us in such a way that we'd make a difference in your kingdom? That we would serve you faithfully, not for the reward, but out of a love and out of obedience in response to your goodness. That one day, that you'd look at us and say, you did good. Well done. Still praying today with the heads bowed, nobody looking around. You've got to be certain. You've got to be certain. So here's the question that was asked to me. I remember the night as a 12-year-old boy, this being asked. It was on a Sunday night, and I remember my dad, who was closing the invitation and closing the service with an invitation. He said, he asked this question that's just such a common question. In fact, he asks it almost every week, but for some reason, it spoke to my heart. He asked this question. He said, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? The good news is that you can know for sure. As God sent his son Jesus to take care of your sin problem, and right now some of you may be feeling the Spirit drawing to you, and you're ready to turn from your sin and to Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, I want it your way. Would you write my name in the book of life? Would you make me one of yours? God, I recognize my sin and I need a Savior. Jesus, would you save me? There are those of you that God brought here for this moment, and you know it. You know it. And today's the turning point. Today's the day of your salvation. And if that's you, I just want you to lift your hand. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Transform me. Save me from my sin. For those of you that raise your hands, would you just pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. Make me brand new.
I believe Jesus died for me so I could live for you. So would you fill me with your spirit? God, I want to serve you faithfully. From this moment forward, my life is yours. If you prayed that prayer today, based upon the authority of the Word of God, He lives in you. And all of heaven is rejoicing. And I'm going to ask that you do something before you leave today. If you just kind of come up, step up, just come talk with me or Adam. Just briefly, we just want, there's something about telling somebody what you did, what your decision was. Just invite you, would you just stand to your feet? Let's sing this. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Let me lead this. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Let me get the lyrics on the screen. Let's sing it again. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am yours. I am loved. I am loved. I have life. I can breathe. I am we just come to you this morning, God. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. God, in so many ways, it's there's some pretty real stuff that your word teaches, and the truth of it is it shows us just how good your gift of salvation is. Something you got to see the bad before you really understood the good. So, Spirit of God, I just pray that you would just continue to mess with us. For those of you that are not in relationship with you, those of you that have never committed their lives to you, I pray, God, that your Spirit would continue to draw. And while the Spirit is drawing and tugging at their heart, that they would respond to you. God, for those of us that know you, God, may we live our lives worthy. What we believe about eternity and death should be making an impact on the way we live. And we're not doing that. We're not living in certain ways. We're not doing good deeds so you'll love us more, so we'll make it to heaven. But it's just an evidence that you've already done something in our lives. So God, may we be found faithful. And all God's people said, amen.